Hey, we got
check,
some
check,
money
check,
right
check,
now.
Check. Oh, there's the cue. Okay, I got it. I know what the problem was.
What was
it? Note to self. There's another one of the multiple apps that we have to do to make this all happen is something called Line In. And you apparently, if it, once the computer goes to sleep, you have to toggle it off. You have to turn it off and turn it back on again.
Oh, 0101.
So there's our opening. Did you turn it off and turn it back on again?
Almost Live. From various singularity points located inside North America. This is Late Night. QRM. X Edition. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael, the virtual Uper. Tonight, Barry vanishes and reappears in a small town in Pennsylvania. Barty suddenly appears. He doesn't know how or why. And Michael, the virtual Uper, is no longer virtual. All that and more on Late Night QRM X Edition. Quantumly gathering and not gathering. On the event horizon, located at the end of Highway 41, here's Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael.
Yourself, sir.
All right, I'll talk to Barty. I don't know if he can hear me or not. I can't hear him at all.
You can't hear me?
Now I can.
Yes, I can hear
now
you.
I can.
Now you can? I didn't touch a thing.
You willed it to happen.
I didn't even have earbuds in.
That's right. I willed it. Because, Joel, I am so wanting to talk to you. Just how you doing, dude?
Man, I'm doing excellent. I've been wanting to talk to you guys in the worst way. As I had said to my beautiful bride, I said, I have got to get in front of a microphone, talk to the boys, and do a podcast. I jones for it.
Yeah, I really look forward to talking to you guys, too. You're so far away, and people I've never met, but I tell you what, I have such an emotional connection to you guys that I want to hear that you guys are okay. And, of course, I can hear... on the podcast, I shall not be named, that things are going okay for Michael, more or less, off and on. Yeah. You know, you and Barry, I don't hear so much from him. I can tell Barry's at work every day because he shows up, you know, as a friend because we were both
the work
same.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, oh, I was going to say, on a note of seeing one another, in the event that I think it was in the iMessage, but so Barry and I are going to be driving up to the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour roundtable at the end of July, and then we will be coming within 40 miles of.
When you pass Syracuse, you're about 40 miles south of my location, and we could probably find a Hortons that you could stop by at, or even a rest area for that matter on I-90 that I could get to, and we could try to form a meetup. We tried to do that the last time, but it was on a work day.
It was
kind of hard. Yeah. But I'm starting to build up some time off now.
Well, believe it or not, and this is how I thought about this when I was talking to Baza about it. He actually has to take the day we're leaving to head on up is on a we're doing the road trek. He normally would have to work that Friday, which means it's an off Friday for you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on the opposite schedule.
You guys are on opposite schedules, which means hopefully you wouldn't be cutting into your vacation time at all for us to get together.
Nope, it would be not a problem at all on my off Friday to meet up with you at a certain exit or right. a certain rest area, because I could drive to the on ramp at the before to the east of where we're going to meet. Mm-hmm. Go on over to there and meet you at the rest area briefly, and then go on to the next off ramp and pay minimal amount of money. So it would work out rather well. We could take pictures and be happy and all that
joyous
kind of
happen. And all that good jazz. Absolutely. So it's going to happen. And Michael, you're going to be at the round tables.
I'm planning on it.
Yeah, that's what I figured anyway. So I mean,
I'm pretty good at showing up at these things.
You, I'll tell you, 19 hours after like 1 hour of sleep in a week, and you're pretty good about that. Who's going to MC and say welcome to the the whole intro, the Barry part?
I think that should be the virtual you person. We're recording at Studio V.
Okay, let me start up some notes here. So hang on a second.
Alrighty. So now you want to start up?
We might as well. Hell, let's just do this live. And I'll do the notes as we're doing it. So get on my mark. Hey, and welcome to Late Night QRM X Edition. Yes, X means somebody's missing, and filling in for the spot of Barry tonight, it's Michael the Virtual Uper from Studio V, and.
I heard and I'm like, wait, is that my cue to jump in?
Yes, it is. Take it, Tommy.
And from the beautiful, chilly, and yes, 6 added inches of snow as of this morning, state of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the also a few inches of extra freaking snow in the Tug Hill Plateau region of central New York, this is Barty.
That's it. That's all your cue, Michael. No, I already hit. Studio B. Right. Oh, yes. Inception. Yes. Okay. I'm quickly trying to type up some show notes here. So, Barry is on a remote location in Pennsylvania this week. He may be joining us a little later in the show, but we figured we'd wing it anyhow. So welcome to Late Night QRMX. No structure, no agenda, probably no talent.
No notes.
We're going to have fun. I'm working on the notes part. And this is all running off of one MacBook using GarageBand Hangouts, otherwise known as Hangup, and let's see here. 2 copies of Line In and a copy of Soundflower, and it's perfectly working just fine. Just kidding.
I'm like,
kidding.
Did it really?
Just kidding. And we're running off of the Mikey Net here in the car in the harbor. So what else could go wrong? It's better than Fairpoint.
Yes. Fairpoint. Although I'm on Fairpoint right now, and not having any issues.
Okay. Creating a new document.
This is just a theory, but I think in Failpoint's heart of hearts, they have a special spot for Barry, because because the entire time he's had so many unfortunate woes, and it was Failpoint and his internet and his streaming and a whole nine yards, and we've all heard him over multiple shows. Well, I also have Failpoint, and I haven't had any problem at all. not through the strike. Now, granted, I'm in a major metropolitan area, and he's way out in the sticks. So, I mean, literally, maybe the support's a little bit, crisper here than it is way the hell out there. But I just personally believe that they have a special spot for him, and somebody sits there with a little switch. Well, you don't remember the switchboards from the old operators plugging jacks in? Well, there's a button on one of those, and it goes right to his house. And the minute he needs bandwidth, they flick it to 50%.
Yeah, they watch him, and when his utilization goes up, they say, ah, screw you, Barry.
Somebody wrote some code that says, anytime this ISP, this IP address pops up, throttle this puppy back. Just because we want to show them how much we care and that we're watching. It's just a theory. But like you said, it's the only game he's got in town. So, you know, he's got to play nice. And so far it's been working pretty good, especially, you know, ever since Failpoint, who was supposed to send him bills, never sent him any bills, and then got shitty about the bills not being paid. Well, if you don't tell me I got a bill, I can't pay it. But in any event, it's definitely one of those things where, yeah, he's on remote location down in Pennsylvania. And I had a nice safe trip down there and was kind enough to send us some photos on our G+, our late night QRM page. That
could be him was, now.
No, that was Pops. It was my old man calling me.
The phone.
Let me put that in vibrato mode.
By the way, I just sent you guys the show notes.
Oh, okay, I'll check my mail.
Under a Gmail. Google Docs.
Yes. Notes. Oh, Google Docs, okay.
Google Docs.
Google Docs. So under Gmail, a Google Doc.
Yeah, you should have an email with a share invite in there. And sorry, I'm doing this on the fly, listeners.
Yes, yes, indeed. Actually, what show number would this be anyway?
I don't know.
I got to look for show notes from last week. No, it really doesn't. Really, really doesn't.
It's a late night QRMX, so it doesn't matter. It's just like love hate things, Las Vegas.
Yes, the Vegas edition.
Yeah, that was good.
That's another place I'd really want to visit.
Las Vegas? You never been there?
Never been there.
I've been there tons of times. I used to go down there for what they used to call it, red flag exercises when I was in the Air Force.
Yeah.
And then as a contractor, I went there afterwards to support red flag exercises because my services and talents were required.
Right.
It's like, okay, guys, I'll go back and do the same thing again for twice the money. Okay. Sure, anytime. Just call me.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
I actually have a timeshare condominium.
I get to stay in a hotel instead of building. What was that, Mike?
I said I have a timeshare condominium there, so if anybody is interested in buying one, just let me know.
Oh, can I borrow it?
Haven't been back in years. So if you go out there,
you feel like renting it out once in a while.
If you go out there before with the missus before I sell it, Joel, let me know.
Oh, well, I'll have to plan a trip. I didn't. Yeah, wow.
We'll talk about this offline. Well, that's where I stayed. Sure. Remember the family truckster's trip?
Right, yes.
Was it 3-4 years ago now? At least.
Yep.
That's where we stayed.
Wow. No kidding.
Well, you know, Mike, you could make some money, or at least have some help paying for this thing from the rest of us.
Well,
yeah, no kidding. We'll all buy in. But it's going to be a timeshare.
Yeah, we all have a place to stay. Anyhow, so drink of the evening. I'll start off with mine. As I said before, I got the recording working here. I am drinking a Colorado Rocky Mountain Bulldog. And unlike last week, after this modified, I'm not drinking much during the week schedule, I'm going to take it very easy on this one because I don't remember all of the last show. I'll just put it that way.
Well, you're very entertaining. We all enjoyed your company, as usual.
Absolutely. And you enjoyed it so much, too, that you entered an altered state of being.
Altered States, yes.
Right?
Remember that movie, Altered States?
As a matter of fact, I do. So, let's see here. I personally, believe it or not, I was
no mushrooms
too
freaking
lazy.
No
mushrooms, no kidding. I was too lazy, and I looked outside this morning and saw 6 inches of snow. It scared me so much that it scared me to stay into the house, have a nice big home-cooked breakfast, and I didn't go out and pick up any podcasting supplies, and so tonight's drink is sweet tea.
Cool.
I enjoy a fine glass of J&B brandy this evening.
Also cool.
Yes, indeed.
Sometimes you just got to say, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What are we drinking? Whatever we got. If that's what we got, that's what we're drinking.
Exactly.
So on that note, it's anything happened? Anybody fun, new, and exciting things this week? I mean,
well, we've had three mornings in a row of solid Northern Lights. There's a really good storm this week.
Oh yeah, yeah. So you know what, Michael?
Yeah.
Right now would be a very good time to explain to us the entire cosmonaut story. From the, that you brought up in the last, I think it was the last podcast I shall not be named episode, because you let out you put out a big old tease about your relationship and getting to meet a cosmonaut, and then said, well, maybe I'll give you the whole story sometime. So yeah, you know, if you're gonna say something like that, you really got to be prepared to say a whole story sometime, and sometime right now would be a really good time. Because you got my interest peaked, I will tell you that, being a space fanatic.
All right. Well, you know, I was going to say that for a podcast that shall not be named, but actually it's probably a little longer than it should be for one of those episodes. If you don't mind, Joel.
No, but, no, please. I remember when you left that, when you dangled that little carrot, and as I'm driving to work, and I hear, I'm like, cosmonaut. I'm lucky I knew who I met a trash man, let alone a cosmonaut. I mean, so I think that's pretty cool. I may have bumped into one at Starbucks, but he wasn't wearing anything that said, "Hi, I've been in outer space."
Well, this goes back quite a few years, almost 25 years when this story started. So, curl up next to the fire, buddies. You know, get yourself a fresh drink. And no, I won't give you the whole 25-year story. But, yeah, this does go back about that far. And the reference that originally started that was I was commenting on an interesting fact that two people at Mercy EMS, at our paramedic office, had both had dealings with NASA directly.
Right.
Not your normal paramedic department. One of the medics actually had a trailer that he lived kind of like Trapper MD style out in the parking lot for a while.
Yep.
And he was involved with the shuttle program. When it comes to NASA, wow. I was involved with a team of other engineers on a computer system for the ISS. And one of these days I will put for one of my cover photos of the podcast that shall not be named, I'll put up a cover photo of the mission commander holding up my tablet up on the ISS. That was pretty cool. But going back to the cosmonaut story, that goes back, as I said, almost 25 years ago. And I was doing some environmental and gravitational acceptance testing, G-force type testing, for equipment that was going up on Mir. And at the time, a lot of the computer systems for the Russian space program were built 5 miles down the road from my farm in Wisconsin. Out in the middle of nowhere, right in the middle, middle of the cornfields. right in the middle of the cornfields and right in the middle of all the dairy farms was a small company called Innovation Computer, and they were licensed by the U.S. government to export high tech to Russia. Now, of course, there were restrictions on what we could send, but the equipment was, it's industrial style PC equipment that was designed to help the Russian space program. And at one point, they were doing an inventory system up on Mir, and they needed a hardened laptop. So we provided that, and I also provided the shake table test to validate that the laptop was going to survive the launch. Once it's up there, generally it's not a big deal.
Excuse me. Yeah, it's the landing that's rough.
Well, it's the takeoff that's rough. The vibrations on the equipment during takeoff can destroy a lot of things. And the Russians, not so concerned about the rest of it up there. That the NASA is really, really, shall I say, uptight about anything that can catch fire.
Yes.
So the stuff that goes up on the ISS is beyond conformal coat. I mean, that stuff is just encapsulated to the point where nothing can catch fire. But now that the laptop that went up on Mir was pretty much garden variety hardened industrial PC laptop type thing. But during that whole process, I found out that the company I was working with, you know, that's when I found out that they had a very long-standing relationship with the Russian space program. And as we've talked about in the past, I am an amateur radio operator. And because of that, at times I would set up equipment as I was going back and forth. I still maintained a job in Illinois, even when I had the farm in Wisconsin. And I had a little ham shack right in my Dodge D50 four-wheel drive pickup truck. And an HF transceiver in there and a J38 cool. Straight Morse code key on the armrest. And a VHF transceiver that with antennas that were set up so that I could work, at the time, the shuttles and mirror. Well, most of the time when it came to mirror, just most of the luck would have it, but the best thing I could do was connect to the packet system up there and store and retrieve packets. But I hadn't had any luck contacting any of the crew or repeating through the system to talk to anybody through mirror. And one night I was going down the road and I thought, oh, wait a minute, this is a good time for a pass. And I did the calculations and I said, yep, mirror's going to be going overhead pretty quick here. And got on the radio and I forgot what the call sign I was calling for at that time. It might have just been CQ mirror from and K9SJ. Mm-hmm. And then there's this break in the squelch and K9SJ.
And this is from a roadside in Wisconsin.
Yeah. I was right in the cornfield in Wisconsin on my way to work. Actually, I was on my way back from work. It was a Friday night. I was coming back from work, heading back towards Wisconsin. This was about a 2.5-hour drive from work back to the farm. And there's a break in the squelch, and I hear this, a K9SJ from U7MIR. I'm like, holy crap! And you know, we start talking back and forth, and he asked where I was, and I said, well, I'm at this location. I said, but actually, I have this small farm in Wisconsin. And there's this pause in the other end of the radio, and he goes, and I can't do the Russian accent, but where in Wisconsin would this be? And I said, well, I live near this small town called, Cleveland, Wisconsin. It's north of Sheboygan, and it's, about halfway between Milwaukee.
And again,
how do you say Sheboygan in Russian?
I didn't say it in Russian, but he was speaking English to me anyhow. But anyhow, so I'm talking to him, and he goes, Cleveland, Wisconsin, I know this place. And I'm like, no, it's a small place. And he goes, no, you must know my good friend Jim. And I'm like, holy crap. Well, it turns out this guy,
one gym in Cleveland, Wisconsin.
Well, but the Jim is the guy who owns the company that supplies the computer equipment to the Russian space program. So we start talking, and it turns out that he was actually involved with the project that I had done the shake table testing on years before. And he's like, I'm going to be in the U.S. visiting sometime in the future. I'd like to stop in and say hi. And he did. He literally.
How about that?
So name is Anatoly. Art Sabarsky, I think, is. I probably not pronouncing the last name correctly, but he was one of the early pioneers in space and spent a lot of time up there. And I have a souvenir. I have his amateur radio license study guide he gave to me.
Oh, wow.
An ARRL.
Cool.
Really? For the space station, he studied the ARRL, Now You're Talking. So I have a copy of that in my library with his signature on it. That's cool.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool.
There's more to that, but I will just kind of like Bruce Murray and the Zedcast and the skydiving stories. We'll give you more of that later, okay?
So,
thanks a lot for sharing that part, Mike. That was awesome.
I'll be honest with you, man. Just to sit there and say, I'm in a cornfield in a pickup truck. I key the mic on my radio, and I'm talking to a space station, and I'm going, really? And I'm like, when you're sitting at a bar, this is like, that's a round table story, man. When you're sitting at a table with beers and a bunch of good folks and say, it's like the scene out of Jaws when they're sitting inside the boat at night. And they all start, saying, you see this scar right here? This scar right here is Mary Lou so-and-so when she broke my heart, and this one was a shark. That's one of them story time stories. You save that for the ending because you're going to you're going to crush everybody else's story.
I got photos, too. I got pictures. But yeah, that was the start of a long, long association. I have met many mission commanders in person from the NASA space program. But we'll get into that next time.
Next time.
Looks like Barry has joined us.
Barry's here. What's going on, brother?
Hey, can you hear me now?
Barry! Yeah!
Barry! Kill him!
McLuhan!
Yes, from the northwest suburb of Philadelphia, we fondly call Perky Omenville. I am Barry J.
Welcome to Late Night QRMX, Barry.
Oh, QRMX?
QRMX, yeah, well, it's like the X Games, but different.
It's like, TED Talk X, or Marshall McLuhan X. You were missing, so it couldn't be a full Late Night QRM.
The whole family wasn't here.
It's a little strange calling in. I've never done that before.
It's working.
Yeah, being the host, duh.
I mean, it's like saying I'm going to call myself.
Yeah. Let me see. And the speed tonight is... Wait a minute. Let me see if I can... Do I have a speed test up? Yes, I do.
1 million MIPS.
Ping is 30. Of course, I'm on here. So, we're going up.
No one's talking.
Okay. Download is pushing 20 or so.
Yes. Oh, so so let's just say slightly faster than fail point at your house.
Yeah, slightly. Thank you.
Slightly faster. Yeah, unlike his house.
Verizon Fios is a great thing.
Well,
and 3718 upload.
3718 up. Yeah, I think you can get a show on.
I got actually a bigger bandwidth upload than I do download right now.
So then that must mean your iPhone 6 Plus must be actually running hot because it's getting so much data so fast as compared to when you're back home and how the data packets have to bounce through the woods and then through the router and then...
Actually, I'm on the MacBook Pro right now.
There you go.
So I brought the MacBook with me.
Sweet. That's what I'm on is a MacBook Pro.
And I'm using the Mac
microphone. Earbuds? It sounds good.
Earbuds. So,
yeah, sounds good.
Cool.
Yeah, Barry, so, I used your instructions and I had to update the software. But one thing that was a problem in the past is there was a long delay using line in, and I used to wind up having to call in the Hangout separately. So yeah. the propagation delay was fine. The new version of line in fixes that, and it just all came up in Velociraptor. So it's all running off my one MacBook.
Cool. Modern one of these days I want to try Audio Hijack. That should be real easy to do this with Audio Hijack. So, but
I want to use my Radio Shack cassette recorder.
Audio Hijack is a cooler icon.
Yeah. Mine's a realistic, so there you go, buddy.
Yes, but is it good, better, or
realistic?
Best?
Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, these days, their best is not good enough since they're sinking fast.
A funny thing was, Debbie and I were going through, they have a local, the Goodwill stores, they open up this huge warehouse one down here. And so I'm going in there because I like to go to flea markets and yard sales and all that sort of thing. So we're walking through, and I was looking. Don't ask me why. I just got done. I know I was watching John Carpenter's The Thing the day before, and the scene where he was dictating, drinking J&B Scotch. This was Kurt Russell drinking J&B Scotch, and he's dictating into his realistic tape deck, with the microphone, the remote mic, about what he's experiencing. And I thought, I got one of those somewhere. Actually, I got two of those somewhere. I can't find either one. So I'm walking around in this indoor yard sale. I'm looking for a realistic tape deck. And then Debbie says to me at one point, She says, what are you looking for? You know, I'll help you try and find this. And I'm looking for somebody has had to have an old tape deck somewhere with a microphone. I want one just to say I have one. She said, what the hell are you going to put in it? They haven't made cassette tapes in 20 years. And I went, good point, never mind.
That's so true. That's true. I don't think I've seen a cassette tape deck or tape in I don't know how long. Except for the ones I have hanging around my house.
Right. But to walk down in Walmart, where they used to all have the blank Memorex, the 60-minute, 90-minute, and 120-minute cassette tapes, I don't remember the last time I saw one.
I can't remember the last time I looked for one.
Well, I just meant in passing, you know, when you're perusing. Okay.
Quick, do an Amazon search. See if you can still get cassette tape.
That's a good, you know what? Thank you for the mission. I accept the mission, sir.
I wonder if you can get them still.
That's a good question. If anybody is making these things.
Amazon Roger, would have them.
You're there, Mike.
5x5.
Michael?
Okay. Yep, I'm here. Yeah,
okay.
All right. Well, since he's recording it, I would hope he would still be there.
Yeah, otherwise the show's real short. Holy crap. Not only do they still make them, you can still get them in the super size 7 and 8 pack.
Oh, really? Yes, do they come in metal format?
They have high energy. They've got high output. They've got TDK's making them. Sony's still making them. Maxell is still making them.
Well, no, as long as you have a drive that can actually use them, I guess you're in business.
Yeah, well, here's an RCA RP3504 cassette shoebox voice recorder. They actually still sell the tape players. No, the weird thing is, this thing costs more now than it did when it was brand new, because it's $75. And I'm like, for a cassette deck player? What?
Jeez.
How about that? Now, that makes me think, I used to have a Sony mini disc player as well. Those things are cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I've heard about those. I never actually owned one.
I had one, and in one of my moments of, well, it's in this box. Well, if I haven't looked at it in 2 years, I should just throw the whole damn box away moments, and I threw it away. Now I'm saying, damn, I wish I still had that. I want to see if you can still buy mini discs.
Yeah, that's how I recorded most of the original Virtual Upers. And even the first couple of remote late-night QRMs, when I recorded them here, it was on a Sony mini disc.
Really? Son of a gun, you can still buy them.
Wow.
The Sony MZNZ07, they call it the NetMD Walkman player recorder. It's a mini disc player. $89.
$89, wow. I paid $300 for mine when I got it. It was almost 10 years ago.
And for as far as mini discs, can you still buy them? Survey says, not only $18.51 for a pack of 10.
There you go.
That's about right. That hasn't changed much. Now, are they the HD versions or the standard def?
These are Sony Neige Series mini discs.
Are they
1 gigabit?
74. A gigabyte, I mean?
These are... Right, I'm reading. Hold on a second. They're blue and purple. So there you go. It doesn't say. Let me keep reading.
That sounds like black and blue.
There was a low-density format, and there was a high-density format. And made a big difference on the storage capacity. And I think they actually said HD.
74-minute 10-pack recorder. MD.
Okay.
Whatever the hell MD stands for.
MD is normal density.
Okay. Recordable MD.
Well, MD, or maybe it was mini disc. So it might be still mini disc. But there was a standard definition and there was a high def.
Right. These aren't actually specifying which they are. They're just saying mini discs. Buy in Japan. Interesting. But you can still buy them.
By the way, occasionally, like every 10 minutes, I have to walk away from the bench for a second and go take some lab readings off the other bench.
Uh-huh. Makes sense.
Oh, that
works? I'm doing battery profile charge discharge tests in the new product that I'm working on, and you know how long that stuff takes. days.
Can take a while. Yes.
Charging up, recording, charging down, recording. I need a recording voltmeter now.
Funny, I just bought one of those.
I would normally have one set up. But this question came up at the last second Friday afternoon. Like, okay, yeah, I can set up my bench to do it, but I'm going to have to do it manually. Okay. That's all right. I said, do you guys have any idea how long this is going to take? Just write down your hours. Okay.
Okay, will do. Roger that.
I'm being nice to you, Dave. In case you're listening, I know you're a late-night QRM listener from time to time. Oh. Yes, my boss listens, right? He's listened in the past, anyhow.
Uh-oh. There you go.
That's cool.
Yeah, he goes back to, remember when we were doing Ustream?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the ones that would comment back from Ustream.
Yes, I remember that. by the way, I did start up Audio Hijack, and I think I'm recording this show also. But
cool.
So we got a backup to the backup.
Have a backup. Okay.
By the way, what's your drink of the evening there, Barry?
Bud Light. But I finished about five of them, so. My nephew brought them with him. He brought a half a case of Bud Light, so we were partaking in that and watching Dora the Explorer.
Dora the Explorer and Bud Light.
When you have three little ones,
swiping. No, I know nothing Dora about it.
Dora the Explorer, which I've never watched before, was okay. And but I got to tell you that there's a new Dora the Explorer. They made her grow up in the new version.
Really?
Yeah. Oh no! Oh my God, you just said Dora the Explorer's hot. You know how wrong that is on so many levels. How many of those Bud Lights you've been drinking, buddy boy?
Too many. It sounds like too many. He's like, hey, come over here, girl. I'll show Dora you a good Explorer. Time, little girl.
Oh no, she's 27 years old.
Yeah, of course, she's not that old yet. But
hey, Dora, you want to explore something? I got something.
You like podcasters in Philadelphia?
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. I've never they had Nick Jr. on. All my grandnephews were around, and. They go from five, I think it's 5, 4, and 2. So that's
gotcha.
Three boys ripping around the house like
I was going to say. Flipping furniture upside down and running across the couches.
Pretty much. Yep. It's a fun time, man. Very, yeah. It's a boys club, that's for sure.
Barry's like, well, it's a good thing it's not at my house. Great to see the boys as long as they're not at my house.
Yeah, tearing up the boys.
Kobe, no. Kobe's my sister and brother-in-law's cats. He's a Siamese, and he's going after the headphone cable right now.
Just because he can.
Yes, he can. He'll probably make an appearance later on or something. But so yeah, they've got two Siamese, Kobe and Kai, and so they're floating around. They disappear when the kids just show up. They run and hide. So, but yeah. So I got down here on Thursday. I was so glad to see, not see White. And then yesterday happened, and they got 6 inches of snow down here.
So it's your fault.
Yeah, they were blaming me that I brought it down with me.
Yeah, well, it's just because we got 6 inches up here, my friend.
Did you?
Yeah, see, but honest to God, it warmed up enough today that the streets are melted down to pavement again.
Yeah, it was warm here today also, so. But it's still, they've got a coating. I can't get away from the white stuff.
As much as I try,
it follows me wherever I go. But wasn't a bad trip down, except for I took 684 down from, you know, 84 out to 684. Oh, yeah. And I got about 3 miles into 684, and all of a sudden traffic comes to a complete halt. And it was about 20 minutes of just slowly but surely going down the road, you know, stop and go 5 miles an hour. And I said, what, is it an accident or something? And when we get up to the cause of the slowdown, it was they were filling potholes in the right and center lane and pushing all the traffic over to the left lane to fill potholes.
So, potholes got to be filled.
Yeah, but do they have to do two lanes at the same time?
Call it a buffer zone.
Yeah. You know, one lane at a time's good.
So yeah. How did the pre-I do? How did it... La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
La, 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 la. Did you say the Prius?
Yes.
You probably can't hear this.
We could barely hear it, but yes.
Oh, that means it won't make it on the recording. Well, it'll make it on my recording. But, yeah.
Well, you can put it in with Audacity if you want to.
Yeah. It's doing quite fine.
Awesome.
It made the trip down, no problems. It visited Dr. Kenny before the trip.
You know, I feel bad. I just segued us right into bottom gear. Sorry, guys.
No, it's okay.
Oh, man, without the theme.
Oh, I got that too, but you won't hear it if I play.
You just have to turn it up really loud.
Yeah, well, I'm going to blow my... let me try. Here we go.
Nothing. There we go. Very faint.
Hello and welcome to another Late Night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and today we got a few stories to tell. Barry, why don't you tell us about the Prius?
Ah, well, the Prius has made its trip down here. Visited Dr. Kenny on Wednesday and got his oil change, and he was supposed to check the... Prius has developed a bit of a noise in the fan. So I told him to, you know, I'll go along and hit a pothole or a frost heave, and all of a sudden the fan will go, and then you hit another pothole and it stops. Uh-huh. So it's intermittent. So I asked him to take a look at it, but he didn't get the car into the shop until later. So he said, I didn't have a chance to look at that since you need the car the next day. So I have to take it back for that. Mm-hmm. And luckily, it started doing it a little bit at the beginning of the trip, but as, you know, everything warmed up, it stopped making noise. I was pretty well, you know, noise free all the way down here. So made it on a tank of gas. Still got probably one cup of gas left in it. Yeah, the one cup is showing on the meter. So I will have to. Get some gas before I go home tomorrow.
Anyway. How many hours did it take you to get down there?
It was about 6 hours, and I stopped once on the way down at a rest stop. Mm-hmm. Decided not it wasn't a good idea to take my pee pill. Have I talked about my pee pill before?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, you have.
Extensively. It was when we were doing the road trip.
Oh, yeah. So I decided, when I'm traveling, no, because otherwise I'd be stopping every 15 minutes for, the first 3 hours.
And while you were driving down there, just right around the 1:30, 2 o'clock crash, were you a rock star?
Oh, did I take Rockstar with me? I couldn't get a Rockstar. No, I had to drink regular soda because I didn't stop anywhere for a Rockstar, and I didn't bring one with me. I should have brought one with me from home, but I didn't.
Before you head on out the road, make sure you stop at a Wawa or a 7-Eleven down here and pick yourself up.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I usually stop one on the way out.
Well, yeah. Down near Barney, well, you probably know this. You've traveled a hell of a lot more than I have, but in New Jersey and Philadelphia, they have Wawa convenience stores.
Yes, I'm very familiar with Wawas.
All right, for all of our Canadian friends, if they don't have Wawa, it's called Wawa. It's, how hard is that?
I also got to say, at the beginning of the trip when I was coming down, I take Route 119 to 10 and get over to 91 that way.
Okay.
From my house, because it's easier that way. So I go through the town of Northfield, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
And when I noticed as I was going down there that C4 had a portal there, and it had a long line all the way back up to the town of Troy, which is the next town over from my lovely hometown of Jaffrey. So, and it was at the post office, and I said, I'm going to pass the post office. So as I entered the town of Northfield, I turned into the post office parking lot and took that sucker down.
So you had two stops.
I did stop at the post office in Northfield. I just rolled us into Ingress report.
Oh, yeah, I made a note of it.
Michael,
sorry, Bob, we snuck that one in on you.
So that's really the only portal I hit on the way down until we got here. And I've been driving my sister and brother-in-law nuts when we're driving around, because I'm sitting there playing Ingress as we're going down the road.
Slow down, you got to be under 30.
Frank's getting used to where the portals are now, because he's actually slowing down at the ones, because we kept passing some back and forth. He was slowing down. He goes, there you go.
Most monuments and a lot of churches.
And post offices.
And post offices.
Yep.
Yeah. So I did take out a huge green conglomerate of fields down here, and it was just lucky. We got the red light, and it was on the corner. I'm sitting there going, taking it out, you know.
Welcome to the Ingress Red Light Challenge!
Oh, my God.
I took this one out, and I took like 3 or 4 mega green fields out, and I said, I have a...
And there's somebody looking at their Ingress report when the messages come up on their phone going, who the hell's this guy taking out my field? And it's a name that they don't recognize.
That's right. That's always the fun time.
Yeah.
They don't know who you are.
Where did that happen? We were in Cleveland, weren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we were in Cleveland when we had the messaging back and forth, and the guys were like, who are you guys doing? We see you're doing some work over there. Oh, yeah, we're down from New England.
Just to kick your ass.
Yeah, it was fun. So, so that's, and other than collecting uniques down here, because I haven't played Ingress down here, so... My unique count went up a bit, and I made Sojourner.
Yes. Now what is that anyway?
So,
what all goes into that? What all goes into that?
You got to hack a portal every day, 24 hours.
For how long? And
continuously. If you miss a day, you start back at zero.
So when do you get the medal? When you hit number what? 100.
Bronze is 15. Silver is 30, gold is 60, platinum is 120, and I think the onyx is 300.
300 days in a row, you must attack at least one portal every
Something
day.
Like that, yeah.
Wow.
So. Yeah.
And that's also the 8th album by the Moody Blues.
Yes. That's true. So you know, I figure I can make level 11. I only need one gold badge for level 11. And I figure, well, in 30 days, 60 days, I should have level 11. Make it to level 11.
Wow. Go, Barry. Go, Barry. Go,
if
Barry.
If I don't screw up, let me tell you, I go down to, on the weekends especially, sometimes it's hard. It's like, oh, crap. Come on, Sammy. We're taking a walk down to the pond.
Yep.
Yes, let's just portal there. Well,
the warmest weather is coming around, which is nice for walks downtown and stuff, which, thank God, it is warming up.
Walks downtown. Yeah, we don't have a downtown, so, you know, it's for us, it's like a major trip. But my wife is, she looks at it as a, what do you call those things?
An exercise app kind of thing?
No, it was like a hunt for things.
Oh, yeah. A scavenger hunt.
Yes, she finds that looking for portals is a scavenger hunt, and she gets very excited about it. So, you know, in the wintertime, it's really kind of hard to get around. But now that the weather's getting better, she's like, we ought to go out and try to find more of these portals of yours, you know, just to hack them and things. I'm like two-thirds of the way from a level 4 to a level 5. I've got less than 50,000 points to go. And she's like, well, we gotta get going on that. It's like, okay, hon, sure, whenever you're ready.
Alrighty.
She's talking about like packing picnic lunches and things like that in the summertime.
Whole
just like driving
day.
Around, you know, hey. and having a stop somewhere.
Hey, don't knock it. Don't knock it. I take my phone out and, you know, we go somewhere and it's like, what are you doing? You playing that dumb game again?
We usually go with the iPad.
Uh-oh. I hear a radio noise.
All right. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no problem. I don't know if you guys can see this in the camera or not, or if it's too much glare, but you've got me so jealous, I am now downloading Ingress again to the iPhone 4. I hope you're happy. Nice weather, and I'm going to be hanging out with you a lot more, Barry, up in your neck of the woods. Cause I actually do miss Barry.
Look at you, Barry.
You guys are like, you're an Ingress influence.
Yeah.
Or a bad influence.
I don't know if it's bad. I actually think it's good because we hang out. I mean, some of the best memories I have are sitting in a family truckster nearly blown off the top of a friggin' Rockaway Mountain trying to sit there and hack a portal. And I'm like, you know, I really don't, but I'm also kind of worried about this truck being anchored to the top of the earth. You know, I'm trying to think heavy thoughts.
Imagine Michael being on the top of a freaking pole, or, you know, climbing up, trying to work on things.
You know, and that's, you know, it make me think right now. It harkens back to this. Let's carry a 4x8 sheet of plywood up there while you're at it. Whoosh, it'd be taken right off. You'd be parasailing. Yeah,
climbing up towers and things.
Well, there used to be a tower right at the top of that hill. That was taken down the year before you guys came up. And it was quite an experience to go up on that thing.
Oh, I bet.
Wow. I mean, it's one of those moments when you say, you know, I'm not particularly a superstitious or a fearful man, but I think before we start the climb, I want to say a little prayer. So who the hell ever is listening, my big ass is getting ready to climb up this tower, and I'd like for it to be able to climb back down. Thank you.
You know, I don't care how calm it is on the ground. If the tower is tall enough, it's always windy at the top.
All right.
I'll believe that.
You know, I'm sitting here explaining to you guys that I'm going up and doing tests on the lab bench, and I just realized, because I've had GarageBand up the entire time. Oh, yeah, my camera's been on the entire time. We've had video live this whole hangout. You know that?
Exactly. The video's been on the whole. So I figured we were just going to run with it with live video.
Yeah, well, it's
really
working fine.
The bandwidth.
Yeah.
Yeah, working real good.
Mikey Net. Except no Mikey. Substitution.
Well, I'll tell you what, if fail points keep staying in love with Barry, Mikey Net's going to go in the woods with Jeffrey. I have a funny feeling you're going to be making a trip.
Road trip. Down to New Hampshire.
Oh, let's see. I just pulled up the notes. Show notes. I didn't realize there were show
notes. Yes, I sent you show notes. I started them right at the start of the show, actually. We were really winging this one here.
Yeah, we're it's basically it's a kind of a free for all.
Yeah, that's all right. That's fine. We're allowed to do that.
That's the way they tend to go anyway. You know, yeah. You make notes and you stray from the from the story. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's all about. Actually, what I am thinking about doing, if you guys are cool, is I'm going to circle right back around again from Ingress back to Bottom Gear.
Yeah, let's finish this up.
Just to tie off with I know with my little ditty, which isn't all that earth-shattering, but it was really cool when we saw, you know, when we did the story, and I said about, you know, I should put the picture on our late-night QRM page where Goldfinger was up on the lift getting his studded snow tires put on for the beginning of this never-ending winter. Mm-hmm. And I had said to Debbie, I'm like, you know what? This weekend might be the weekend I should probably get him back up on the rack and get the all-season radials put on, because I work in Massachusetts, and they have a law. No studded snow tires as of April 1st. So even if it could be snowing like gangbusters, you're not allowed to have studded snow tires on your car. Snow tires, yes. Studded snow tires, no. So I thought, well, I'll put the all-season radials on and wing it, because the snow, when it does come, it melts pretty much the same day. And then I woke up this morning again, circling around, and looked out the window and went, there's 6 inches of friggin' snow outside. That happens next weekend. There's no way I'm taking those puppies off. If I can get another week out of it, they're going another week on. Oddly enough, New Hampshire, and I think I said this multiple shows ago, has no limit. You could run studded snow tires on your car year-round.
Yep.
Same thing for...
They wear out real fast. Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
As long as they're not steel. They can't use steel tip studs here in the state, but as long as they're non-steel, you can use them year-round.
No kidding. So, so that's all I got for bottom gear. Besides that, everything's been going good and running well. I'm anxious because the weather's getting warm enough that with all the podcasts that I've subscribed to, and especially that one, We're Alive, that I was talking about in last week's show, mm-hmm. that my little FM transmitter that my wife got me for Christmas is doing real good, but I have to be honest, I'm anxious to when it's warm enough where I can sit half hanging in and out of the car, blow the dashboard out and put in a cassette or put in an audio deck that has an auxiliary jack in.
Yeah.
Because there's a few times I've been listening to podcasts and, well, driving past the FAA, and you're, oh, and then we're walking. The zombies were coming around the corner. And then it shuts out. flight number 7115. And I'm like, what the hell?
Interference. I got to tell you, I drove all the way down here, even past New York City on 87.9 and didn't have any interference on mine. So,
no kidding.
So I think that's a magic frequency right there, 87.9.
That's a magic frequency just right there. Let me tell you that.
Don't you know? Actually, that is the one I'm running too.
I used to use one of those transmitter things, and I'll tell you that the auxiliary input is 100 times better.
Clearer. It's clearer. It's
totally clearer, and there's no interference or anything.
Yeah. So. But, you know, I don't know.
Right. You got a real complicated integrated radio in the Prius, so you don't have much. I mean, sure to put in an auxiliary jack, which costs as much as putting in a whole new deck. Yeah, the transmitter is the best way to go.
Yeah, to put an auxiliary in mine, it's like, $100 and some bucks?
I think it was $128 just, and you still blow the dashboard apart to get to the wires in the back to put an auxiliary jack in.
You plug into the back of the radio that's there. But
yeah.
Yeah, for $130, it's like, hell, take the whole damn... But your screen is integrated with your blower motor and everything else. It's a big undertaking.
Yeah, I can't wait until the July law comes into effect and I won't be able to operate my car anymore because hands free. It's like, but everything's touch screen.
Yeah. Well, I kind of think that there. I thought about that new law and I'm like, of course, there's absolutely no way they're going to be able to enforce. No, you may not turn the heat up to defrost the windshield while driving because your hand came off the wheel to turn the blower fan up because the ice was forming and I was getting ready to run over something.
Well, actually, I think I get away with that rule anyway because I have a holder for my phone. So what they're talking about is you can't hold it in your hand.
In your hand,
And do it. So I've got a holder. So
it's an extension of the dashboard.
Yes, that's right. Well, no different than the touch screen and it's right above it.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, New Hampshire has problems with their state government anyway. There, I was reading recently that there was a fourth grade class that had authored a bill and submitted it to the Senate. They had gotten a sponsor after all this work to name a red-tailed hawk as the state raptor. Yep. And this, with all the fourth graders in attendance, they ridiculed that law, saying, what are we going to do next? Come up with a, an official state hot dog? And, of course, they dragged in abortion rights and things like that into it and just simply made the fourth graders feel like crap.
Well, yeah.
And I was like, seriously?
I read that story, and it was actually from Rochester, representative from Rochester, New Hampshire, who had mentioned, I read the story to Debbie earlier today, and I was shocked with what he had said, because he made a reference to, you know, how the red-tailed hawk uses its talons to grab a hold of its prey, and then uses its razor-sharp beak to tear into the prey so it can break it down and digest it and eat it. And he said, well, it sounds like that ought to be the, what do you call it, the logo or the representative for Planned Parenthood.
Exactly, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you couldn't have said a more inappropriate thing. And, of course, the fourth grade kids are going to look at their parents and teachers and go, well, what does that reference mean? And how do you, and it's like, dude, you know, really? You're supposed to be professional about this? And, yeah, it's I'm looking at the story right now. A speaker wants an apology for an abortion comment during debate on a student's bill. And
I saw a comment or somebody comment, and they said, oh, really? And then, so you don't want the red tail hawk to be the state bird or state raptor, because you think it's a bad, you know, violent bird. And then they showed the Great Seal of the United States, of course, with the bald eagle on it.
Which is basically a coward. That's why Ben Franklin wanted a turkey as the official.
The bald eagle is also a raptor.
It's also a raptor.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah,
it tears into its prey with its talons and rips it apart with its beak, and then it eats the meat because it's carnivorous. So it's a raptor, and that represents our whole country.
Yeah.
So yeah, when I read that story, I actually read it twice. Believe that some guy. I mean, you know, I'm not the sensitive. Anybody who listens to the show knows I'm not the overly sensitive, touchy feely, mushy gushy one. Not by a country mile. However. Time and place.
Why we love you, Joel.
But time and place with a bunch of fourth grade students in there, you have a little class, a little couth about it, and certainly you don't have to roll in hot topics like Planned Parenthood or abortion or this and that, because these kids they were seeing how our government works. I mean, think of how excited they were to be able to put a bill together that actually made it to where adults were discussing it and voting on it. I mean, what better, more positive, reinforcing way of showing how our legislator works in this state than to tarnish it with some asshole comment? That's just,
Exactly. Especially when they were ridiculing it, saying, what are we going to vote on next? What the official state hot dog should be?
Yeah, and they wonder, politicians, they wonder, well, why is everything going sideways and nobody wants to vote anymore and blah, blah, blah. Well, You're molding the minds of future voters right now, and I guarantee you, at least one of those kids is going to walk out of there, and they're going to think back to this when they're at voting age at some point.
And say, "Yeah, screw it. These are a bunch of assholes.
A bunch of assholes, anyway."
Yeah, I mean, and both parties are. Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Yeah. But what was that other story? Oh, the guy that took the shot that shot at the two Cambridge police officers. Last week they had the SWAT team was called out in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Oh,
Friday night. He was spotted in a hotel. I think I'm going to get this one wrong, but I mean it's not like we're actually the news, but it was. He was spotted on the run, and he was checked into a hotel up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Here it is. Police SWAT resolved. It was, what was this guy's name? Well, I don't think it really matters. A fucking loser. But here it is. Camaretta. Nicholas Camaretta, 30, from Saugus, Massachusetts, is the one who took a shot at two Cambridge, Massachusetts police officers. And was on the run, was checked into this hotel, got spotted. SWAT was called out. Cambridge police and Portsmouth Police and New Hampshire SWAT were on scene, or Portsmouth SWAT, and they said one gunshot was rang out. Of course, they quadrant off and closed the streets. And I know one gunshot was, and they tossed a robot in to find out what this guy was doing. So he blew his brains out on the wall because he realized you're fucked when you shoot the cops.
Well, good for him. Man. He saved two states a lot of money in prosecution.
Exactly. Saved a lot of taxpayer money.
Incarceration expenses.
Absolutely. Do the right thing.
And kill yourself.
Man, it created a real nightmare for the hotel owner. But
unfortunately, yes. Unfortunately, yes. But here's another idea. Don't shoot at cops. That's another one. Yeah. That usually has a better ending, where people stay breathing.
Yeah, well, it'd be a good idea just not to shoot at people in general.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they're bad people, I think it's okay.
It's just me. There you go.
You know, they deserve it. Anyway.
I guess it falls under the category, if Guido shot first, then it's okay.
Guido.
Yeah, I think horrible dictators of countries, terrorists, I think it's okay to shoot them and not ask. It's just, you know, a terrorist, shoot them, done. Problem solved, next. Bullets are cheap.
Just don't say, let's shoot every angry-looking Muslim around. Because that could get ugly in a hurry.
That could get very ugly very fast. But we, so that story ended, as far as I'm concerned, it ended with a happy ending. No innocent bystanders were hurt, no officers were hurt, and the scum, so happy ending. Moving on.
Yeah.
Now, how did we get there from bottom gear?
I agree. We ought to just, you know, help that motel owner clean out his room and
exactly. You know, start a little fun, help the dude out. Hopefully we can recover his business. But that's the last bit of news that I was reading about. I mean, well, I was sitting here eating my big, yummy breakfast this morning, sitting at the table.
Yeah, how did we get there from bottom gear? I'm trying to
think. I don't know.
I brought up the state legislature, and it kind of continued on from there.
Was that the studded snow tires to gunshots? Is that how we got there?
That's right. Yeah, gunshots.
That's how it worked. Yeah, follow the rabbit hole. Let's see how deep it goes.
No hands rule.
So basically, shoot the rabbit and we don't fall in the hole.
Shoot the rabbit, we don't fall down the hole.
And you get to have lunch.
So what's the next one we got on bottom gear?
That's your that would be me. Yes. So a good
hello,
part of the last.
Host.
I'm here. Good part of the last 6 weeks, I've been dealing with slow leaks on first one and then two tires in the front of the family truckster. And I'd fill them up and then go down.
Can
a
I interrupt?
Bit. Yes.
You're on the family truckster. I remember you had a slow leak in the Jeep because of the aluminum rims. And you said, boy, what a bad idea, aluminum rims on a truck.
Yes.
Now it's the family truckster, too?
Yeah, but there's another reason. And I finally figured it out. At first, I thought it was just the extreme cold temperatures up here and things weren't sealing up right. Mm-hmm. But these are new tires, and I didn't see any sign of any abuse anywhere. And then I thought, you know, those were teenagers that changed the tires on Chris's truck. Mm-hmm. I wonder how tight they really did tighten the valve stem. And I walked into the general store. I said, you got a valve core wrench? And they're like, a what? Uh-huh. I said, well, it's like a valve stem cap, except that it's tire pressure cap, except it's got a little wrench on the end of it. Never heard of it before. And I said, you know, you should carry one of these things. They're really cheap, and if you need one, there's no substitute. But sure enough, when they change the tires, you know, a lot of the shops just spin the core out of the stem. They let the air out right real fast, and then they put it back in. But sometimes they don't tighten them. And sure enough, both cores on the Schrader valve stems on the front of the truck were loose.
No kidding.
Grabbed the valve stem out of my mountain bike kit, tightened them both up, and bam, we're back in business again.
Nice.
So is that your mountain bike kit?
Yeah, I carry tire patches, I carry caps, and I carry extra valve stem core or valve cores and Schrader to Presta adapters as well. Because there's two different styles of L stems out there. Cool. Depending on, you know, one's a very narrow valve called a Presta, and then there's the standard, what you think is the normal valve stem on a truck, and it's called a Schrader. Carry parts for both of them.
It's a Schrader. Smart. I never would have thought to tighten up the Schrader fit, the Schrader valve. It just never, you know, I hadn't thought of that. Because I had one that's leaking up front. I'm jumping on your bandwagon here, but you got me thinking.
Yeah.
My passenger side front studded snow. I've already had to put air in it twice. Now, that's not a lot for in a winter, and I drive on some horrific pothole-filled road, but I think I'm going to go out and check that tomorrow. Thank you.
You're most welcome. And the last thing I've got for bottom gear is Chris and I sat down the other evening to watch the Hyperlapse video in HD, and as we came into Jaffrey, I wonder if that's Dr. Kenny's place as he went by. So,
and then you see the little bubble pop up said Dr. Kenny's.
No, did it say that?
It said Dr. Kenny's.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I must have been turning to look at my wife and asking that right when the bubble came up.
A little blurb came up said Dr. Kenny's, and I'm like, wow, man. Thank you, Michael, because that video was friggin' cool.
That was cool.
That was so friggin' cool, just watching you and the production and editing was awesome. You know, with the jazz going on and the little blurb and Ingress Portal here doing it, and I'm like, that's just friggin' cool, Barry.
it was just fun. I just threw it into iMovie afterwards and added the little lower thirds, as they call them in the business, and slapped on a soundtrack on it, you know.
Because
the Hyperlapse thing, there's no audio with that or anything, right. So it's just basically you can record it at, and you go from, I think, you know, 1:1 to like 6 times, or no, 6 times is about halfway, so maybe 10 or 12 times faster.
Right.
So you could really do some time-lapse stuff with it if you wanted to.
I noticed but, you blew through one of the stop signs.
Have my cord.
No, that was just, he was fast-forwarding, that's all.
Yeah.
Chris mentioned that, too. He didn't stop for that stop sign. Oh, that must have been Hyperlapse.
That was a rolling stop.
two times fast. Two times
speed. That was actually cool. I actually wanted to get a sandwich by the time. I've never enjoyed going to Subway as much. When you and I went in real life, that was the next best thing. You're sitting in the Prius with you, you're driving the Subway to go get a sandwich, and looking around and going, "Man, I miss living in Monadnock." That's why I put the comment in here and plus one did on the Late Night QRM page, because I literally said, "Man, I forgot how pretty it is just every day seeing those sceneries."
Yeah,
driving around and yeah.
When the leaves come out and everything, you know, flowers and leaves come out, I'll probably do another one.
I think you should.
I still got the mount on the suction cup to the windshield.
That's cool.
Now, Chris is like, how did he mount that? I said, well, you're going to have to listen to the episode.
But, yeah, it was, my selfie stick?
Yeah.
The attachment that the universal attachment for any cell phone or smartphone, I took that because it has a screw on the end, and I actually had a suction cup that can take a camera mount, and so I attached that to the suction cup and slapped my iPhone 5, my old iPhone 5 I stuck up there.
No
and
kidding.
I had the screen on the inside, and I was using the, you know, back camera, which is the better camera, but so I could actually I had to watch myself because I was driving, and I kept noticing I was going up and trying to watch the video at the same time. Luckily, it was pointing at the same place, you know, straight ahead. So
that was very, very cool.
And I was ingressing at the same time. So
no, of course you were never ingressing and driving.
Oh no, I wasn't ingressing. No. I wasn't going after. I wasn't hacking portals on my way to Subway.
No, of course not. You were stopping and getting out and walking to the portal and hitting the button,
right,
and getting back in your car and taking off again.
Yes, that's what I was doing. Yes. Even though I know where all of them are by heart, and I don't even have to look down at the screen, and my thumb automatically goes to the hack button.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah, it was fun to do. It didn't take very long either, so it was fun. So, oh, God. Sorry. I'm tired today.
Gee, I wonder why.
I lost your word. Yeah. So we stopped in and saw my dad a couple times. Had lunch with him today. That went well. He's in assisted living right now. Uh-huh. And he's doing okay, although he's still in a wheelchair. I don't know whether he's going to get out of the wheelchair. But and for people who don't know, my dad's 92 now, and going on 93 this year. And so he's not like being in assisted living, but he can't live by himself like he was doing before. And
it's just too hard to do everyday things.
It's too hard, and he can't keep up with it. And he's of that World War II generation. Since it's very difficult to get him to realize that he needs assistance. Yeah. And so that's where we are. But it was a good visit. We had a good visit on Wednesday or Friday. And again today. And of course, my sister didn't tell him I was coming down, so it was a surprise for him. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it turned out well. And I had a good lunch with him today. And
that's going to be tough on you emotionally.
It is. It's tough on all of us, and especially my sisters, because they're down here and they live with it. You know, I'm 6 hours away. Mm. So they get and again, that generation expects the daughters to do stuff, and the son gets away with murder, basically. He doesn't have to do a thing. But I am 6 hours away, too, so it's difficult for me to be able to help out, you know. And to lend moral support to my sisters that get the job of taking care of everything. So, but the place is real nice. I went to, you know, the goal here is he's in assisted living now. He fell and hurt himself, so he's still recovering from that. And if he can recover well enough, he can go into the individual independent living,
mm-hmm.
which is next building over. And yesterday, my sister arranged a tour, so the person from the Kathy, she was showing me around it. And she's showing me everything, and she goes, well, do you have any questions? I said, yeah, I only have one question. She goes, what? I said, when can I move in? I said, this is great. I mean, the place was beautiful, and they have like a post office, a bank. They have a little store in there. They've got a 24/7 place you can go down and get, you know, snack food and, you know, burgers and things like that. They have this huge dining area that looks like a lush restaurant, and it's a giant buffet for dinner, so you get to pick, and lunch, you get to pick and choose whatever you want. They have a tavern. They have a tavern with a bar, you know.
Oh,
there you go. Where is this?
they have a theater. They have a library, and then they have a stage area where they have live entertainment that comes in every week. And then they've got buses to take them to different activities. I said, I'm ready, man. I am ready. Let me move in. This is better than some hotels. Nice hotels I've stayed at.
When's poker night?
They do have poker night. They have poker
night. That's what I figured. There's got to be a poker night.
And they have billiards, too.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really nice place. I said, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. Sign me up. And there's one lady today, we were walking around, and this one lady's in line, and it was some other lady's birthday, and they were getting her to sign the card or something like that, and she's standing there, and she said, well, you know, her birthday's in a couple of days. And she goes, really? Well, how old are you going to be? She's going to be 100 in a couple of days. And she was wandering around, and the lady that was running around getting people to sign the card, she's jumping and zipping around, running here and there, and running there. And they said, and Kathy, the person that works there, says, tell them how old you are. She goes, I'll be 93 next month. So, you know, It really is all how you keep your stuff. These people stay active and energetic and keep their minds sharp, and yep. You know, that's a hint. You just got to keep yourself busy.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Because if you don't use it, you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah. Jeez. Excuse me.
But anyway, so that was it. It was Arbor Square is the place I'm talking about, and it's down here in Pennsylvania. No, it's not Harleysville. Where are they? Is that Harleysville? I'm not sure. I forget what town it's in. But it's right after a couple of portals, church portals, and.
Everything's measured from a bottle.
And then the other thing, which was interesting down here, and I guess this may be happening in other places, I think the giant down by you, Joel, the big new, or not giant, jeez, there I'm going.
Giant Pennsylvania, Green brother. Boy.
Martins. Not Martins, that's the other one.
Martins, that's the other one in Pennsylvania, and I know exactly Market what you Market Basket. Market Basket.
There we go. I got the right location now.
Yep.
Market Basket. I think the one big one down in Nashua by you is starting to do this, but they have a small chain up here. It's only 3 or 4 stores called Landis, and it's a supermarket. But you go in there, and one side of the store, you pay $12, and they basically have a buffet and a giant salad bar, yep. And it's all you can eat. You go there, grab the plate loads of stuff,
yep.
And they have a separate seating area that's kind of away from the shopping, kind of behind the thing. The
dining room.
Yeah, dining room. And I said, this is great.
There's a place that's just opened up here called, they got it all over New York when I was down there, Wegmans.
Yeah, oh, I love shopping at Wegmans.
Wegmans has a whole restaurant really just cool. Like this inside of it with a separate dining area like the New Market Basket and everything. It's awesome.
Wow. Yeah, so this is, my sister said, yeah, the pretty much all the grocery stores are doing that down here now. So. Well, what are those super cool glasses?
These are just cheaters, brother, because I'm getting old and the icons are small. So I had to...
Yeah, that's why I got a 6 Plus, is because I can't see the little screens anymore.
Yeah, well, it's honest to God, you know, it's like, wow, look how clear the pictures are now.
For those that can't see the video, because, well, we don't publish the video.
It's an audio show.
Radio, so they can see the glasses. But
Bill slept on some readers.
Yes, indeed. Only because I was.
They were pretty blue.
Yes, they are. Yes. And Ingress is downloaded so successfully. So now I can read that.
Now, with that being said, I have noticed lately that the server response is atrocious on Ingress lately, and very difficult. You'd be driving along, and it's like the portal doesn't even pop up.
You've been walking along?
Yes, walking along.
I've noticed that as well. When I've been going through Adams, New York, I was passing a portal, and my scanner took forever to update, and by the time it finally did, I was out of range of the portal.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man!
Yeah, you can't believe how fast you can walk past this thing.
Well, I wasn't driving. I was in the passenger side.
Oh, okay.
I was in the trunk.
Or are you hacking and it says no items? I missed that.
I said I was in the trunk.
Laying
in the trunk sideways.
He was a bad boy. He got put in the trunk.
How many guys can you get in this trunk?
There's a new one. The Niantic people are starting a new game, GPS-based game called, I think it's called End Games, and it's based on some book.
We haven't finished this one yet.
Yeah, well, I think this one will continue on. Hopefully this one will continue on, because the next one looks interesting, but the reason I like Ingress is it's fairly simple, and this next one looks like it's going to be fairly more difficult with lots of more things to pay attention to and keep track of. And yeah, okay. If it's GPS WoW, Yeah, no thanks. I'm not doing that one. So I like the simple ones.
Right.
Simple. So I'll play that until they do away with it, if they ever do. We'll see. But, oh, I went back to Ingress. Sorry, Bob.
Well, I got a side Ingress note here. So, you know, last week, or maybe even 2 weeks ago now, we helped with an operation called Shards. And in order for the Shards operation to take place, my youngest son's guardian had to go, which we weren't happy about. But my son said, "Well, you know, I've got my whatever the 150 day one is,
Onyx,"
and he was like 163 days,
yeah.
And he said, "But you know, I've got it, and we have our super secret portal that we've established, and it's under his ID, and there's not much of a chance that anybody's going to touch that one anytime soon." So he said, "Ah, we'll take this one out." Well, the local operations people thought it'd be a good idea to. They wiped out my Jarvis and most of my ADA supply.
Huh.
Nope, Bob, it's still time to drink more beer. Don't come back yet, okay? All right. And
oh, by the way, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I get this hangout message tonight just before the start of the show saying, we really appreciate what you guys did, and we'd like to come up and replace your inventory. I said, well, that'd be cool. You know, when would you like to do that? And said, well, we could come up tonight. We're heading your way. And I was like,
wow.
Note to self, something's going on. And they said, well, you know, how's the Verizon coverage up there? And I said, it not. No. I said, you know, I can log you into our system under my name since I'm the system administrator and give you Wi-Fi through the town. And I said, there's something important I need to tell you about tonight. And I was trying to think about it. And I, well, let's see, if we leave now, because they were coming up from Marquette. So, they, you know, 3-hour drive up to Copper Harbor, and they were going to do a full expedition. And then it occurred to me, and I said, well, there is one thing if you come up tonight. And they're like, why? What's up? I said, if you come up to Copper Harbor tonight, don't plan on leaving the island till sometime tomorrow afternoon.
Oh.
And they're, why?
What?
I said, because the bridge will close at 9 o'clock tonight.
Oh.
And at the earliest it will open is 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. So once you're up here, you're here. Oh, maybe we'll come up another day.
What a bad idea.
Yeah. By the way, I just want to say, wait a minute, let me fix my video.
Yes.
I'm going to, I need to, there, no, that's the wrong way. Okay, there we go.
It's very quick.
I'm thinking right now is about the way Michael and Joel have their video. So, is my face tough in the... Is my face
what was
my
that?
Face is in the middle.
I'm pretty centered on my video here. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're talking directly into the microphone.
Here, take that.
Okay, oh, how about now?
Joel, you just blinded us.
Hang on, I got to take another reading.
Joel stuck his head down and the light was gleaming off of it.
In my window. Kilroy was here.
That's a good impression. That was very good, Joel.
All right. Playing video tricks on an audio podcast.
I don't care what Barry says, Joel. You're all right.
Oh, man. If anybody knows my horrible little dirty stinky secrets, it would be Barry. He was stuck with me.
Yeah, no,
we don't believe anything.
Yeah, I'm a one-man symphony in the middle of the night. I just want to share that.
What, do you have onion rings again?
Oh, you're, onion rings? No, no. Oh, man. Onion rings.
Let's see.
Especially from Burger King.
It's got to be Burger King. Oh, pretty cat.
Yeah, that's Kobe. For those who are listening to the audio, I just showed my sister's cat, Kobe.
Kobayashi Maru.
Cat equals no win scenario. Sounds right to me.
No win.
I think he was really.
The only way to beat it is to cheat it.
I think he was named after Kobe Beef, but actually, it was a Japanese restaurant.
Does that mean when all else fails, eat the cat? That's awfully.
You know, that's what I was thinking. That's kind of scary. Like naming the dog Stew.
Oh man, when, you know, you have a 100-pound dog. That's a lot of stew.
So what we call Sammy's Italian name is Diogi.
Yeah. D-O-G. For those of us that are not Italian.
D-O-G. Yeah.
D-O-G. Yep. D-O-G, dog. D-O-G.
R-R-R.
That's cool.
So how are you going to put that in the show notes, Mike?
D-O-G?
D-O-G.
D-O-G.
Yeah. D-O-G.
Sounds like a Japanese anime show.
You know,
oh, I want to choose
every you.
Day.
I love watching Diogi.
Diogi in the morning.
Diogi versus Gamera.
Of course, you know what's going to happen. In the next Marshall McLuhan hour, we're going to be hearing all about Diogi. Be interesting to see what those guys make of it. He'll be their next guy conducting the band. It'll be Diogi!
Diogi!
His Italian orchestra.
All right, oh, where are we at here? I'm jumping all over the place.
We have strayed down another rabbit hole.
Well, I've got a side note here. You know, last week, when I made that ill-fated Black Russian that sent me off down the rabbit hole, speaking of rabbit holes, one of the rare times I actually went to town and got a bag of ice. Now, it has been what we consider almost spring-like weather here, okay?
Right.
And today, so I'm making my Colorado Rocky Mountain Bulldog, and I can still say that, so I'm in much better shape than I was last week. And I thought, you know, it'd be nice to have some ice. Dang, I don't have time to run down to the store. And then I look at the bag of ice that I bought last Saturday. It's still ice!
Oh, why wouldn't it be?
I mean, it's a lot warmer here, but down by the floor, I guess it's cold enough to keep my ice. It's been a week!
Michael, I mean, go outside, get a couple scoops of snow.
It's inside! It's not outside! Here! The cement floor is cold enough to keep the ice.
Wow.
Damn! Oh!
But, you know, Michael,
ice outside.
If you get a scoop and you just go outside and get a couple scoops of snow, and then you could pour Black Russian over it, and you could have a Black Russian snow cone.
Slushy. Yeah, there you go.
Black Russian slushy.
White Russian slushy. There we go.
A Copper Harbor slushy. There you go. I like that.
There you go. A Copper Harbor slushy. It's a new sensation. It's sweeping the nation. It's the new amazing sensation.
Someone's been taking marketing classes. Well, he's a poet and he didn't even know it.
Huh. Oh, he's a poet and he didn't realize it.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Okay, another breaking news here. As of this evening, about 5:30, the girls' Copper King basketball team won the state final championships. Woo! All right.
Congratulations.
First time. So, wow. our varsity girls' basketball team made it all the way to the state finals and won. So I put a link in the show notes for that. The school band's getting together and meeting them. I guess they're doing a gathering at the auditorium. But anyhow, the whole school band's getting together, and we're having a whole reception for them when they come back tomorrow. Because they had to go down state for this. I crossed the bridge.
Oh, across
the bridge. Across the mighty Mac.
Down under.
Yep.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, it is. It is. We're proud of them.
Yeah, we'll pass on our congratulations. Tell them that people in New Central New York and Southern New Hampshire are congratulating them.
I will
absolutely.
All three of us. Okay, don't say a number. Just say people in Central New York and Southern New Hampshire.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I have to tell you, I did find when we were down at visiting my father's place in Louisville, I did stumble across a couple of old items that Well, let's just put it this way. Throwback Thursday on Facebook is going to be interesting for the next few weeks, probably. Especially since I found my 1970 and 71 seventh grade yearbook.
All right. Can't wait to see that.
So I'll be, I got to scan them in, and I'm going to be throwing them up on Facebook on Throwback Thursday. As yes, there's quite a number of people that I still stay in contact with on Facebook that, yes, I have their pictures. So that'll be interesting. And I got a bunch of pictures from my time in Misawa, Japan, which were good pictures I've been looking for, and I couldn't find them, and I forgot I sent them to my parents back then. So I've got some cool pictures, lots of people, and scenic views. And so that'll be making it up on Facebook and one of the other places that I belong to a group of this from the 6920th ESG, which is the group I was in Misawa.
Yeah, and the elephant cage, guys.
Yeah, I have a beautiful picture of the elephant cage that I took. That it's absolutely gorgeous, and thank God, because I just saw pictures of the somebody posted pictures of them tearing it down. The elephant cage is no more.
Yeah, so,
and I was so glad I found that picture.
There are what four or five of those across the globe, and I think they're all gone now.
I think they're all pretty much gone. I'm not sure. There may be one left somewhere, but it's HF. What can I?
Exactly.
Nobody uses HF now.
Nope.
So, but yeah, I've got some cool pictures of Japan, so I'll be posting those too. I was so glad to find those. That was a treasure hit. So, pretty neat.
All right, guys, very talk cool. Amongst yourself. My battery voltage just went from 2.5 down to 0. So,
wow.
Shut the test down here. I'll be right back. Okay. That was pretty sudden.
That's a jump.
I was watching it. It went from 2.5 down to 0.
Or a drop.
Must have some battery.
Jump, drop.
Yeah, must have some battery management built on board here.
Well, maybe I'll see if I can find some of my old Misawa pictures and post along yours.
That would be cool.
Most of mine were like at main base. I've got pictures of, you remember, or you might not have been there that year, the year that we had so much snow that they were collecting it all up on the football field?
No, I must have been.
Oh, man. It was like they had nowhere else to put the snow. So they started scooping it up with front loaders and piling it all up on the football field. And they literally buried the football field with all the snow. And they built like mountains of it. And then we continued to get a lot of soft, fluffy snow. So you could climb up on these huge, like, 2-3-story hills. It was a bit of a warp to get up there. But you could, like, jump down and fall into, like, 3 or 4 feet of soft, fluffy snow. So, you know, our boys were just, like, little tiny tykes then. You know, they were, like, in first and second grade. So, you know, I would go up there and help them all the way up to the top of the hill and then throw them down and then jump down near them. It was a riot because, you know, I mean, you don't find snow like that on a regular basis, you know?
Yeah.
It was a trip. I mean, it was funny because the entire base for a whole 2-3 weekends in a row, that's all we did was just go over there and just play on the football field where the snow was. Jeez. It was just a riot.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'll post a couple pictures, I'm sure, on the late night QRM community page because, yes, there's a very young and skinny Barry J.
Yeah, well, I was kind of pretty much the same way. I was pretty young and skinny then, too, compared to the way I am now.
Yes. Yes, this one, these were some interesting pictures, so. Wow. Brought back some memories. It's been 30 years. Jeez, almost 35 years since.
Yeah, it's amazing how long it's been.
Japan. Yeah. So. Yeah, oh well. What can I say?
So where were you 30 years ago, Joel?
Let's see. Philadelphia.
No. Ah. No? You lying to us.
Yeah, Philadelphia. Going to grade school.
Yep, I probably. That's about right. Yes, you were.
Yeah, middle school. Yeah, about that. Let's see. 23. Yeah, that puts you about 13. 13, 12, 13 years
old. Wow.
Yeah, so that was, that was South Central Pennsylvania at that point. So, in burbs.
So, you're a youngster.
Yeah, I'm only four. Well, I mean, you guys are the old Methuselahs. I'm only 43.
Oh, okay.
So, you got a few years on me.
Yeah, quite a few.
Barty, you might have me by a couple of years. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm 59.
Yes, you got me by a couple of years. I'll be 57 in a couple of months. So, yeah.
Yep.
You're the old man.
I thank you guys because while you were serving your country, I was getting an ice cream, but I could safely get an ice cream because you guys were serving our country. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Playing Little League Baseball.
Yeah, well, you know, we weren't working too damn hard because we were smart enough to get involved with computers.
Yeah. Yeah. I was involved with a group where we were the first ones out of there, then civilians.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I was the what did they call it?
Diddy Boppers?
Well, yeah, we had Diddy Boppers. We also had linguists and stuff. But I'm trying to think of the word, and I can't think of it. The evacuation order, you know, if you had to evacuate.
Right.
Yeah, it was us, women and children.
Us, women and children?
The rest of the civilians. Well, our group in particular.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, well, they were high-level intel. The group I was in was after the women and children and right before the security police. They were the last ones to go.
Yeah, security police were the last ones. And the rumor was that if there was no way to get off, the security police's guns were pointed towards, but I don't know how true that was.
Well, that's like my one remote assignment was to a place called Prinslik outside of Diyarbakir, Turkey. Mm-hmm. And it was a small place that had a 2.5 mile long perimeter around it. And the evacuation order was that, you know, if we were in a position of impending attack, we would all go and collect our guns. We all had guns that we were assigned to. We would grab them, find out which way people were coming from, and cut a hole in the opposite side fence and run like hell. And if somebody started shooting at us, drop and fire back. So this place was affectionately called the Duck.
The Duck.
Our basic strategy was to duck and cover.
Wow, that's funny.
Oh, well, because, you know, we had more contractors than military personnel. It was a place that had like 300 people. It was 100 contractors, maybe 50 cops, and then a number of local nationals, and then thus like a small handful of people that actually operated the base. That was it. So it wasn't like we had a lot of defensive posture. It was a place that was one of those listening posts during the Cold War. We had these large antenna arrays that were faced towards Ukraine to detect missile launches. And everything that we had was directly tied to Cheyenne Mountain. You know, you picked up a phone and the dial tone was at the mountain.
Yeah.
And, you know, so like there was like very little that was local. And we used to get TV and things out of Greater Europe, but everything else was all out of the mountain. And you know, all these screens would be detecting possible launches. And it was a place that that was used during the early one of the first Iraq wars, because we have had an antenna array that would that would listen to the would detect a Ukraine launch, and it would lock on it. So they just aimed that thing south and found out where the Scuds were launching from, and that was how the Patriot missile batteries were finding out what the trajectories of the Scud missiles, and were able to shoot them down before they heard anything.
Oh wow!
Was out of that site? Yeah. Yeah, you could always tell when the radar was active, because everybody's DVR, their TVs, everything stopped working because it was just washed out with the radar signal.
Chicken would cook in the refrigerator without having to put it in the microwave.
Exactly. I mean, you know, there were a lot of people that were worried about becoming sterile and stuff like that, you know, because of constant sweep stuff. Yep. But it's like, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah. At least, luckily for me, I was on the back side of the barracks, so I didn't get any effects from the radar array when it was like sweeping south.
So no, Barbie, you're stuff, perfectly normal.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I got my own problem, but I can't blame it on that.
No, okay. I couldn't help it, Barty. Sorry.
No, that was a good one. That was a good one, Mike. I just wish I could back that up. I could make some money.
Hey, sorry,
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Nothing, you know.
And I don't have my kill switch here, so you hear my yawns.
Well, it's kind of like Jason's cough button. He hits it and he coughs.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
I love that.
Press the button, starts a coughing jag.
Oh god! I am starting to catch up on my podcast, especially on the trip down here. I got to listen to a few.
You can marathon them.
Yeah, I was. So,
hey, did you guys check out that We're Alive podcast yet?
I have. I listened to the first couple, and
really? Very
cool. Yeah, I put them in their own separate list. Yes. It's cool. It's pretty cool. Yep, I downloaded the whole thing, so I've got all the podcasts from the beginning.
It's like a book on tape kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool. And he yawns again. Uh-huh. Oh god.
Well, guys, I got to be cutting out.
Catch you later, yeah. Sir.
Hey, Barty, okay.
It's getting to be my bedtime.
Yeah,
I'm glad we're able to get together tonight, Barry, being on travel and heading south,
yeah.
Even though you couldn't avoid any snow.
Yeah, fun, but I'm glad you guys could start, at least. I'm glad I could join in here in the middle, at least, or beginning.
Thank Michael.
Yeah.
Michael's the one that made it all happen.
Yeah,
Studio V.
Yep. Wish I could have this broadband all the time. Okay.
Don't we all?
Yeah, really. Jeez. Oh, well. Okay. Oh, Barty, go do drugs. And
better living through chemistry. I'll catch you guys later.
Okay. Right,
we'll see you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Oh man! So,
well, what was I gonna say? Hey, Michael, I see the in the app corner here. It's something that I find very, very cool because I absolutely love the graphic novel series and the television show and the movies. What is that app you're talking about?
Well, I couldn't resist. The app's name is called. This is I think it's iOS only. I haven't checked to see if it's available on Android or not.
Right.
The name of the app is called Hydra. So I couldn't resist throwing in parentheses before it. Hail Hydra! Oh, sorry, no.
Hail Hydra!
And it's from a company called Creaseed, Creaseed. And it is a really, really cool photography app for the iPhone. And it's all versions of iPhone, as far as I know. But it's one of those apps that will take a high-resolution photo of what you're looking at. So if you point your camera, it's best to use a tripod or put it on a very stable surface. But in high-resolution mode, it'll take up to 50 or 60 shots of the same photo and then take like an 8-megapixel shot and create a 32-megapixel photo out of that shot by combining all the photos. And it has a, let me get out, I'm in the help menu of it right now. But it has a high-res mode.
Right now.
Has a zoom mode. Has a low light mode for bringing things up.
That's cool.
Video HDR and HDR mode. And it will work with a 3 megapixel, chicken in the oven, toy boat, 3 megapixel, easy for me to say, an 8 megapixel or a 12 megapixel mode. But I've been using it for those that have followed my photos on Late Night QRM's Google Plus page. Some of those photos that you saw that I posted this week were taken with this app. I've been really happy with it. I really should be using a tripod with it, but even hand-holding gets some pretty good shots. So that's my app recommendation for the week. I've been using it for about a month. Cool. I wanted to really try it out before I put it up here on the show. But I do use it. Chris is interested in it, although I think I'm finally succeeding in convincing her, but she's still got an iPhone 4. And for the amount of photography that she's taken and the fact that she qualifies, it has qualified for a new phone with Verizon for almost like 2 years now. I think she's finally agreed to get an iPhone 6. I think she'll be happy with that.
Cool. Yeah, she should get the 6 Plus, really. She's interested in photography with it, too.
But then there's just the size issue there.
Yeah. There's a size problem, right?
Size problem, but it's got the better camera. So...
Well, it's got the better stabilization. They're the same cameras.
That's true. But, same camera, but better stabilization. Yep.
So that's my app recommendation.
Very cool. Thank you.
Excuse me, I don't have any apps this week, I don't think.
I do have a podcast recommendation as well. Couple of new ones I've been listening to, but I'll single out Mr. John Meadows tonight. And he has a podcast called MPP, just the 3 letters, MPP. John Meadows has been around a long time. He's part of that crazy Canadian crew up there. Long-time podcaster that I think that hasn't been putting out anything for a while and has just started up again. And he's an incredible photographer. He takes film photography and then digitizes the negatives.
Wow.
And good musician, and he's into theater and song and dance as well. Just an interesting person all around. And he is IT literate. John and I walked to many venues from place to place in the last Marshall McLuhan podcast around table, so I got a chance to actually talk to him. I did meet him back at the last PAB, but really didn't have much of a chance to talk to him at that gathering. So, and he was at PodCamp Toronto. Unfortunately, he was not feeling well, so I don't think he made it past. He was there Friday night. I don't think he made it all the way through Saturday. So,
that's a shame.
Yeah.
But, chances are you will get to meet him at Hamilton. So,
cool.
That is my app recommendation, or excuse me, the podcast recommendation of the week.
Podcast recommendation.
Awesome. I'll have to check that out. I'm always looking for more podcasts, because guys go on hiatus, stuff comes up. Like us, we didn't put a show for a couple weeks. We had stuff going on, and it's nice to have other ones that you say, "Ooh, I can," if you will, fill the gap, because I've got enough of a list that you always have something to listen to.
Oh hell, I'm still catching up on my C group from October.
Well, you guys have pretty extensive groups, extensive podcasts. I think I'm only subscribed to about 13 of them. Not even that many. So I'm trying to find ones that I can sink my teeth into, and where you get really into wanting to hear it.
And have you checked Radio Free Scarrow yet?
No. 10, 11, 12,
who's putting out?
13. I'm sorry? 13 podcasts.
Who puts out Radio Free Scarborough?
That is a group out of the west coast of Canada.
Really?
They have covered the new Doctor Who series from the first episode.
Oh, I think, that one.
Okay. Yeah, they're up to like around 400 or 500 episodes now. But I have gone back to episode one and started from there. And that's the one that I've been using to follow along as I take the journey through all the new Doctor Who's and thoroughly enjoying it. And listening to their anguish, because they put out weekly episodes whether there was a new Doctor Who or not. So during all those seasons, you know, because they put out the shows and then there's months with nothing new. So these poor guys, they're coming up with news. What they wound up doing, I mean, I'm only up to like episode 100 now, but what they do on the off seasons is they go back to the classic Doctor Who, and at one point they finally just come up with a randomizer to pick an episode. And they say a week in advance what the show is going to be, and then they tell you so you can play it while they're commenting on it. And they do like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 commentary on the episode. But even without watching the episode that they're talking about, it's fun listening to them. Of course, I'm that much of a diehard Doctor Who fan, so I suppose that your mileage may vary.
Well, marathoned any TV shows recently? Can't say any new ones. I caught up on my Blacklist.
Yeah. By the way, folks, for those that are still listening, we've gone into the after show mode, but we'll just leave it run.
Well, we're not done. We haven't called it a show yet.
No, but this is kind of the way we get after the show's over. Yeah. Although sometimes we come up with our most brilliant stuff after you stop recording.
Yeah, usually. Funniest stuff, brilliant thoughts. You know,
damn, it's the best part of the night. That should have been recorded. Oh, well.
you gotta hit the off button sometime. I'm sorry, I am wicked tired tonight. I'm not sure why.
Oh, no, you've just been driving all over the place. You've been
that's true.
Dealing with issues. No, I can't imagine.
Boo, friggin' who?
What's that?
I said boo who. In other words, the idea behind it being is you're friggin' all over the place driving 800 billion miles and this and that. And it's like, you're allowed to be tired, dude.
Okay.
Really, I mean, you don't need anybody's permission. It just makes damn sense. You sounds like you flipped places with Michael, because usually you always hear Michael saying, okay, I'm driving into town, I did a 3-hour trip to go get a Coke, then I'm going over to here, I'm going to drive to another state, why? Because they got good french fries, then I'm going to come down here and pick this person up, and then I'm going to try, and I'm like...
And somebody wants me to go halfway across the country to pick up a boat.
And I rescued 5 people along the way, and a sparrow, and then I came back... And it was in a storm, but it was a small one. There was only 19 feet of snow. That's okay, because when the windshield iced up, I devised a Bic lighter and a flashlight that pulsated and electrified the windshield. But, you know, that's a little something I just ripped up with a couple paper clips and some tools. And then I'm like, holy shit, man, I'm exhausted just from listening, not even doing it.
If it wasn't for all the warning lights on, I would have...
He couldn't see.
It lit my way.
And sometime in between all this, I'm going to get in a 31-mile run. You know, just
to... That I have not been guilty of lately. I've finally started walking again.
Yeah, I noticed that. I've been getting your Runkeeper alerts. Yeah.
Well, my biggest problem, and that's going to get corrected pretty soon, but with the change in job status and everything else, but we actually got down to the point where... how shall I say, my oldest son needed a new pair of shoes, and the only one available were my running shoes.
Yep.
And so he's wearing my running shoes, and I have my mountain boots, and I have my medic boots, neither of which you want to run 10 miles in. So,
awesome, my dear.
Pretty high on the list, especially now that I can see pavement out there. Need to buy another pair of running shoes. Or better yet, find a pair of shoes that he wants and claim my running shoes back. Yes, those shoes have been awesome. They're trail shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Trail shoes.
Yeah. My running shoes have holes in the top. But
how you get your foot in through the big hole.
No.
And you lace it up around.
Yeah,
miss after the show, folks?
When I run, I tend to point my big toe up, and it has worn a hole in the top of the shoes.
So, understood.
Probably have to get some new ones when I start running again. So I'm already getting notifications about 5Ks.
Really?
Yeah. Some of the ones I ran last year and stuff they're sending out stuff. So I said, okay, 5K. We'll start off with walking 1K.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get started again. So
work your way into it.
So, yep. Almost there. I guess our roads are clear now, but still a lot to snow on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, like, it snowed like 6 inches this morning, but at the same time, it's all down the pavement now. I mean, my driveway isn't, of course, because God hates me, but all the roads are, and
you know, oh, I know.
I'm like, I ain't snowblowing a damn thing. I don't care. I'm not taking it out again. Not until friggin' Christmas.
I haven't taken mine off the tractor yet. I'll do that soon, I guess. So, but not there yet. Don't trust it. So, I do have one other story that happened this week. Our hopper gave up the ghost.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, we were having problems with it. Every night, the hopper at around 3 o'clock in the morning goes and calls home and checks for updates, and then it restarts itself. And I forget what it was. It was Tuesday night, I think, or Tuesday morning. My wife turns on the TV when she gets down there, and we have nothing. So I went in and hit the little red button, the reset button on the hopper, and it rebooted, and it came up that time. And I said, that's strange. Well, Thursday morning, when I was getting ready to come down here, same thing happened. And this time I hit the red button, nothing. And, you know, you get the thing where it says hopper's coming up and stuff, but then it just kind of died. And I unplugged it, plugged it back. I tried turning it off and turning it back on. And, again.
Sorry.
Nothing. It got up that says hopper's coming up, and then we just didn't go much further. And then later on, Emery noticed after I said I had to go, so you know you're gonna have to call Dish and see if they can get out here, take a look at it. And she noticed a thing that the hard drive was failing in it. So we lost the hard drive, but so they came and on Friday. They came and replaced the hopper with a new one. Unfortunately, we lost all the recordings that were on there. There's one thing you can do with the hopper, which I had read about but totally forgot about, and we're going to do this. I have to go out and buy another 2-terabyte external hard drive, because you can plug an external hard drive into these things, and you can slide your shows from the internal to the external ones, kind of like as a backup, if you'd like.
Right.
And that way, if anything happens to the hopper again, you can always, you have a backup, and you can actually put the old programming back on the new machine. So, yeah, I'm probably in the market for another 2-terabyte external hard drive here in the near future. Plug it into the back of the hopper.
How big is the hard drive in the hopper, anyway?
It's 2 terabytes.
Oh shit, that's big.
Yeah, well, it's all high def, and plus they have the prime time anytime option,
right?
Because they have 3 tuners in it, so you can record all of the prime time shows all the time, and they keep them around for I think 2 weeks in prime time anytime, so you can go back and watch the prime time shows anytime you want. So it makes it a nice feature. But, yep, so new hopper. It was cool using Dish Anywhere, though. Down here last night at 11 o'clock, I tuned into Channel 9 News and watched the local news up there to see what was going on my iPhone. So, yep.
Very cool. Hey,
technology, wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah. Well, Anybody got anything else?
Thinking. Anything happen? Nope. Fresh out. I got nothing major, nothing cool, blah, blah, blah. Kind of a lot of the same old. Which is good, because that means nothing bad's happened either.
Yeah. That's true. Michael, you got anything more?
I think that's it. We hit the two-hour mark here.
Have we?
Cool. Yep.
Okay.
Class, we're staying with tradition.
Would you like to know who the musical guest is tonight?
Yes, please.
Okay. Keeping with the number 40th song of the 70s, we're up to 1972, and this week's musical guest is Elton John with Rocket Man.
Good song. Cool.
That was the 40th, number 40 in 1972 for the Hot 100.
Very cool.
All right. Well, why don't you take us out here, Barry?
Okay, well, that's it. And once again, we'd like to say to all the military people out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, thanks for what you're doing, and stay safe, especially you OCONUS guys. And we hope you get home to your families and friends real soon. Until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you.
Yep.
So with that, from one of the northwest suburbs of Philadelphia, we call Perky Omenville, I am Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And next week, stay tuned for my review of Meerkat. I'll be doing some videos from here in the harbor. Of course, by the time you hear this, I've already done it. But anyhow, from Studio V with the Portable Recording Studio, this is Michael, the Virtual Eeper.
All right, everybody, thanks. Here's Elton John. I can't say we're out.
Yeah.
No.
So Michael says, okay.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight. Touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh no, 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 I'm a rocket man. Rocket man, burning out of fuse out of here alone. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again. Place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell, and there's no one there to raise them. If you did, and all the science I don't understand, it's just my job 5 days a week. A rocket man, a rocket man. be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
Samson, speak! Good boy.